And I remember the first time Nirvana were on. You really knew that you were seeing something the first time that Pearl Jam was on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you knew you were seeing something coming out of Seattle. You weren't really sure what it was, but you thought it was good, you know, and it was really very exciting. That's a great question. Actually, nobody's ever asked me that. Thank you.
107.7 RKR. It's the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, driven by MotorCarsOnline.com. Joined on the phone by a special guest. She is the longest tenured vocalist for the Saturday Night Live band. She's on a couple of new tracks with vocal legend Dion DiMucci. Welcome to the Rocker Morning Show, Christine Ullman. Good morning, Christine.
Mark, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing fantastic, except for I live in Michigan, so our weather, it can't decide what it wants to do. We had tornadoes a week ago. We got snow now. It's madhouse over here.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm in the Northeast, and we had torrential rain yesterday.
Oh, geez.
Washed away the remnants of our two blizzards.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Christine, it's great to talk to you this morning. I love the new tracks, De Ladies Get the Blues and Sugar Daddy with Dion DiMucci. And tell me a little bit about your working relationship with Dion and how you two first met.
Yeah, thank you for asking. I have an album called Strip, and I covered a song of his called Daddy Rollin' in Your Arms, which was actually the B-side of Abraham Martin and John. And back in the day, someone played it for him and gave him my phone number, and he called me up. That sort of sparked a great relationship where he started picking my brain about the blues. He had really transitioned into just wanting to make blues records. The first one was called Bronx and Blue. It's been about 15 years that he's been in this genre. And it came time to record this record called Girlfriends, which came out in 2024 and topped the blues charts. And it's all duets with people like myself, Carlene Carter. There's a bunch of great female vocalists on it. And I ended up with two duets, as you just mentioned. And so we've just continued our relationship. When he's up in New York, I try to see him. Spends a lot of time in Florida now, where he lives, but still, he's the Prince of the Bronx, you know, the king of the New York streets. So, whenever he's in New York, we see each other.
I find that very interesting because I know you have a big love for soul and blues. And, you know, I found it when he brought that album out, like you said, with women like Susan Tedeschi and Joanne Shaw Taylor. It was such a unique album. It was such a unique concept coming from a guy from his background who's so well known at a young age for the doo-wop and then transitioning to the blues. How did you feel like that worked out between the two of you, considering you have such a love for the blues? Did you find that creating something like that with him was really special?
Well, I happen to believe that he's one of the linchpins in all of American popular music. He, you know, one of the very earliest inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and always had sort of an interesting sensibility when he came out with Abraham Martin and John. And then he had a song called The King of the New York Streets with some punk guys out of New York. He's always been reinventing himself. But when he grew up, as he's told me, there was no rock and roll. So they listened to people like Jimmy Reed in 1951 or something. That's what you were listening to. And so he came back to that with really a great love for it. And he's a great guitar player, too, which a lot of people don't know. He plays in a Delta blues style, and you know, Blind Willie McTell, Blind Willie Johnson. He can do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we began talking when he was putting together Bronx and Blue. We began talking about a song that I had called The Seven Sons, which talks about Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me a lot of questions about Clarksdale, Mississippi. I mean, it was really wonderful to just speak with him and share ideas with him at that point, and the relationship has gone on.
I know you got started at an early age. How did you first get into music?
Well, my parents were musical. My father played piano. My mother was a trained dancer. And there was always music in our house, always lots of music. And then when my brother and I formed our very first sort of garage band, there were times when we would always rehearse in our basement. They let us keep the PA in our basement, you know. So my father used to drive us around, and they were extremely supportive, my parents. I'm forever grateful.
You put out so many albums. As someone who is crazy about music and singing, I love discovering older material and people's, you know, musical history and just the kind of the journey that they go through. Does someone ever come up to you with like a, you know, and just say, oh my God, Fancy is like one of my favorite bands out there?
Yeah. There's so much great stuff going on now.
Yeah.
You know? And, You know, I'm a big fan of the Foo Fighters. You know, I'm a big fan, actually, of Bruno Mars. You know, there are a lot of people that I just adore. Jack White, I think, absolutely deserved to be put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's been a huge trendsetter.
Yeah.
You know, and there are lots of alternative bands out now. I mean, my sound is really an Americana, a bluesy Americana. It's guitar driven. You know, and so I appreciate anybody like that. That comes out and you know, gets in a van and tours around, really.
Yeah. You've also been exposed to so many different kinds of music, not only through your musical career and then that transitioning, you know, to Saturday Night Live. How did you become a part of that originally?
There was a good friend of mine, G.E. Smith, was the musical director, the guy with the long ponytail.
Yeah.
And the guitar player. And he called me to do a gig. He didn't tell me what it was, and I was free, thank God. Turned out it was Lorne Michaels' wedding reception.
Oh, my gosh.
Out in the Hamptons in Long Island. And the band rehearsed. We went out there. We learned some soul music stuff that I wanted to sing, and it was a great time. And then the next week was the first show of the season in September, and Lorne came across the studio and said to G.E. Smith, "Where's the girl?"
Oh, wow.
"Where's the girl that was with you at the wedding?" And I've been there ever since.
Man, that is wild. So you were there. You were at Saturday Night Live. It went through so many different phases. When you first got in there, there was definitely a turning point, and a very special cast was coming together. And this was also at a time where music was just blossoming. You had alternative, yeah, grunge, hip hop. Yeah. It was such a plethora of different kinds of music coming out of the time. From your perspective, what was it like during that time, experiencing the cast and the music all coming together?
Yeah, well, that was the beginning of Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, you know, Kevin Nealon, those people. And then later on, Adam Sandler, Chris Farley. And I remember the first time Nirvana were on. You really knew that you were seeing something the first time that Pearl Jam was on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you knew you were seeing something coming out of Seattle. You weren't really sure what it was, but you thought it was good, you know, and it was really very exciting. That's a great question. Actually, nobody's ever asked me that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, and you've also got, you know, you've got many projects, but your Rebel Montez project, your longtime band, how does this band kind of differ to some other stuff that you've done in the past?
Well, it's a guitar-driven band. I mean, I would call it Americana now. It's definitely got a blues influence, maybe a little gospel influence. It's a four-piece band. You know, we play more in the summer when SNL is off. So there's only 20 shows SNL a year, but we'll play more in the summer. And in April, I'll be appearing in New Orleans and Washington, D.C., and also down in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, doing an anniversary concert for the Muscle Shoals Sound Studio down there, which is one of the iconic historic studios.
That sounds very cool. So, well, I love the new tracks that you're on with Dion DiMucci. Your voices never sound better. Thank you so much for the years of entertainment, and definitely check these tracks out. And best of luck, and hope to see you and hear you very soon again.
Yeah, I would hope the same. Thanks for asking such great questions, and to your listeners, rock on this morning.
Thank you, Christine. Appreciate you.
All right. You too.